So life in the second half of 2019 was a little fuller than I anticipated, and I never got around to actually putting many audio chapters from book six up on the podcast, so I'm going to remedy some of that. I'm going to put this chapter now, which is the Scott Pilgrim chapter, up, and three of the reader's choosing. So here is an audio version of Scott Pilgrim and the Aftermath of Relationships. And this isn't audible, so I'm not going to make sure it's perfect. Roll with me, mistakes and all. Here we go. I say bread makes you fat way too often. Scott Pilgrim is one of those movies that worked its way into my subconscious way too deeply. By the time the movie dropped in 2010, I had been married for 6 years and was in a good standing with all of my exes. Beyond the over-the-top action, general quirkiness, and fun musical aspect, I didn't take a lot away from the actual story. 9 years and countless viewings later, I realized there are some lessons to learn from Scott and Ramona's failed relationships. Now, I've been married for 15 years and still am in good standing with all of my exes. Truly hope none of them show up to battle, though. But I still have things to learn. Dating and its methods have changed fundamentally since I was in that world. I first spoke to my wife on AOL Instant Messenger. I didn't own a cell phone until halfway through our dating relationship. Social media was not an issue, and I never experienced the whole, air quotes, talking to someone phase. You are either dating someone or not. I can't claim to be an expert on dating, nor would I want this book to be that. I put way too much effort into I Kissed Dating Goodbye / Boy Meets Girl in my dating years. Side note, for those of you who aren't familiar, those are books by Joshua Harris about dating that basically made every Christian teenager break up with their boyfriend or girlfriend, and Joshua Harris has since renounced all of these things and thinks they were a terrible life choice. Moving on. You don't need a geeky Bible study telling you it has all the answers. But the Bible does have a lot of truth we can learn from. Direction and intention. The first thing we see as the movie starts is this. Not so long ago, in the mysterious land of Toronto, Canada, Scott Pilgrim was dating a high schooler. That was cute when I watched it the first time. Now as the parent of an almost teenager, ew. He was 22 years old, dating a 17-year-old. I get that age isn't always a factor per se, and that some of you may have been in that same place, yet Scott wasn't exactly thoughtful or deliberate in his intentions when he began his relationship with Knives. He pursued the relationship because she served his own ego and made him feel better about who he was as a person. In dating a younger woman, he was able to automatically become cool and a rock star without ever actually having to mature as a human being. So often we begin relationships not for mutual benefit, but simply because we see something we can get out of someone, whether it be physical or emotional response, towards us. Relationships should be with purpose and direction. In the book Scary Close by Donald Miller, he quotes Al Andrews, "All relationships are teleological. It means they're going somewhere. All relationships are living and alive and moving and becoming something. My question to you is, where is the relationship you've started going?" Beyond the creepy age thing, the Knives relationship was an issue because there wasn't a direction or intention. Scott's sister says, "Scott, why are you doing this?" Scott replies with, "I don't know, it's just nice, you know? It's just simple." As Scott's sister replies to him, "Are you legitimately moving on, or is this just you being insane?" Scott says, "Can I get back to you on that?" Scott legitimately had no purpose or direction in his relationship with Knives, but even though he had none, it was still moving in a direction. For Knives, it was important and something crucial for her life. Her heart and mind were bound up in this because she thought Scott was in the same place as her. It's not just on Scott, though. Even as Ramona pointed out, she wasn't in this with a direction either. Ramona stated, "If it makes you feel better, you're the nicest guy I ever dated." Scott, wait, is that good? Ramona stated, it's what I need right now. And Scott replied with, but not later. Ramona states, Scott, I don't have all the answers. Okay, I just like to try to live in the moment if I can. Repeatedly in the book of Song of Solomon, we see the scripture, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. We see it in Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 7, chapter 3 verse 5, and chapter 8 verse 4. They all say that. We have a responsibility not to start something we have no intention to finish. That means not kickstarting people's emotions, intimacy, and commitment if we know we aren't in that place yet. I know that sometimes you date to figure out those things, but bear in mind you are responsible for what you awaken in someone else. Scott was dating a high schooler because it was easy and it made him feel cool. That's not enough reason to drag Knives' heart through the snowy streets of Toronto. Be cautious when it comes to what you start. Think through what you actually want, what direction you intend to move in, and how it will affect that person before you let it get that far. Peace and destruction. One of the craziest things about Ramona and Scott's story is how much destruction was left in the wake of their relationships. Scott caused emotional trauma in Kim and Knives, but Ramona's wake of chaos was rather devastating and continued to perpetuate devastation. Ramona and Matthew only kissed once. They were together a week and a half of seventh grade before she told him to hit the road. The way she ended their time together managed to keep him strung on for years. Ninth grade brought on Lucas Lee, and she only dated him until the minute Todd walked by. She abandoned Lucas without a second thought for his feelings. Then a week and a half later, she dumped Todd, and the concept of having to do long distance while he was at Vegan Academy. Ramona said her phase with Roxy meant nothing, and it took apparently no effort to get the twins and all the rest to rally together to destroy her and Scott. Ending a relationship isn't ever easy. As Ramona stated, no breakup is painless. Somebody always gets hurt. While breakups may not be painless, that doesn't give us freedom to be callous or careless with people's hearts. I'm not telling you to keep toxic people around or to be in relationships you don't want to be in, but a little effort for extra compassion can go a long way. Paul makes this statement to the church in Rome. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Romans 12:18. That applies to people on a regular, but it should also apply to the people we once invested our hearts and lives into. Treating people poorly and casually tossing people aside is not living at peace with people. I'm not telling you to try and be friends with your exes or to bring them back into your life, but our options are really limited, especially as Christians. Many people run away or ignore their former relational problems, much like Ramona in her journey to get away from her relational baggage. As Ramona stated, I was hoping to leave it all behind me. I came here to escape, but the past keeps catching up. I'm tired of people getting hurt because of me. Running and ignoring the damage we've done doesn't help, and it's far from godly. Jesus paints a picture for what this looks like in any relationship, whether it be friendship or family. In Matthew 5:23-24, it states, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Simply put, if you recognize someone has something against you, whether you hurt them or they are hurt by a situation, you have a responsibility as a Christian to go and make amends. At the very least, make an effort. If you make an effort and they reject it, then that's fine. You've done your part. Think about how much more boring of a movie Scott Pilgrim would have been if Ramona would have been gracious in her breakups or sometime in the years that followed, she sought her exes out to apologize for her behavior and make amends. Then there'd be no one to fight but Gideon, and the whole story could fit into a Facebook video. My dating past isn't extensive. I had 3 girlfriends in middle school, and that barely counts, 1 girlfriend in high school, and 2 girlfriends within my college years. I broke up with two of my middle school girlfriends. We're still friends today. The one who dumped me is still a friend as well. I dumped my ex in high school, yet a decade later, she knew she could call me for help when her world was falling apart on the other side of the country. One of the college girlfriends I ended up officiating her marriage, the other dumped me. The one who dumped me, her name was, the one who dumped me was named Ashley. If I'm honest, she was the only serious relationship outside of my wife. We met when we were both 18, young and foolish. I really did love her though. Like, I loved her a lot. And I had every intention and desire to marry her one day. And even in our less than a year relationship, we talked about it often. Our relationship started taking some ugly turns, and I'm not blaming her for it. I was immature, clingy, and it was my first time trying to adult. Neither of us were at our best. Eventually, she broke up with me. In full disclosure, I was full Knives Chow about it. Chow? I can't remember how you pronounce Knives' last name. But either way, I was full Knives about it. I was not over it for a very long time. I wasn't mad or bitter. I wasn't about to challenge her new boyfriend in a fight to the death or anything. But I was hurt over it ending. We parted ways and went on about our lives. We both got married, we both moved on, but low-key that ache was still lingering around. Then 6 years later, she contacted me. It wasn't to get back together or anything scandalous. She wanted me to know the place her heart was in. A song called I'm Not Who I Was by Brandon Heath came out, and it really spoke to her. It spoke to her so much that she reached out to tell me that that song expressed her heart. She saw who she was then, and her shortcomings. She saw how it affected the outcome of our relationship, and she wanted me to know she wasn't that person anymore. It seriously brought a new sense of healing in my life, just for her to reach out in that way. Since then, our families have become friends. Our kids have had sleepovers, we've gone on family vacations together. She's been a constant friend in my adult life, even though we only dated for like 10 months over 18 years ago. What caused that transition was her reaching out to bring a sense of acknowledgement and reconciliation. Imagine if Ramona did that. Even more so, imagine what it would be like for you to do this for the people who are carrying a weight of hurt you might have placed in their lives. I know this isn't everyone's story. I don't know this isn't how everyone's story would play out, but it is how it played out in mine, and my life is better because it did. Side note, before I wrote that and put that in the book, I actually sent Ashley a message and showed her what I was writing to get her blessing so I didn't just, like, you know, have some scandalous tell-all book. Next section. You weren't wronged? Question mark. It is so easy just to root for Scott and Ramona getting together and to look at Knives as simply just an obstacle in the path of Scott and Ramona's relationship. The bottom line, though, is that Scott was in a relationship with Knives, and he came to realize once he got a life and the power of self-respect, he cheated on both of them. It all worked out in the end, sort of, but it could have been worked out a lot better if Scott would have just been honest. When he first thought he may be interested in Ramona, he should have either ended it with Knives then or stopped pursuing Ramona. The minute he ordered that package from Amazon, he had already started the act of cheating. It may seem like a small thing, but he built the entire foundation of his relationship with Ramona on a lie, and he based the entire end of his relationship with Knives on a lie. That stuff matters. Jesus makes a statement in Luke that proves that even the smallest bit of dishonesty carries a huge weight. Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. I think the course of Scott and Ramona's relationship was corrected after the Gideon battle, but it could have been so much healthier for everyone involved if they had just been honest. Being deceptive about little details in relationships shows that deep down there's a big character flaw in that person's heart when it comes to integrity. That doesn't mean that the person can never be trusted, but unless a conscious effort to change and restructure how they perceive and convey honesty is made, you shouldn't expect anything to be different. We should be clear and honest when it comes to our feelings, actions, choices, and intentions. Scott went to a lot of trouble to cover up the truth about Ramona and Knives. Even in the midst of their climactic battle, he still wasn't totally upfront and clear. We need to be able to live where our words are clear and honest with no questions or hidden intentions. Jesus states, "But let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more than this is from the evil one," Matthew 5:37. There is wisdom in using your words wisely and at appropriate times. But realistically, if you have to manipulate truth to accomplish what you want to happen in a relationship, you either need to not do what you're attempting to accomplish, or you not be in that relationship. Sometimes I don't write words in easy sentences. Or you not be in that relationship. We should always strive to have total integrity with the people we are in relationships with, because I promise it's better to be upfront and uncomfortable now than deal with the consequences of deception. If you want the relationships you are in to have a future, like with jetpacks, then remember these things. Be intentional with direction and purpose for your relationship. Do damage control for the pain your current and past relationships go through. And be honest and open. Let your integrity be clear in how you speak and act. This will help you to have to battle far less exes to the death in order to have a satisfying love life. Also, bread makes you fat. And just as a side note to the listener/reader, personally, even just reading that chapter makes me uncomfortable, because I am so not perfect in relationships. And even since I wrote that chapter, I've had relationship struggles, I've had marriage struggles, I've had life struggles, and it's not easy. So please understand, if you are in a bad relationship place, or this comes down as something like I have the answers, I really, really don't. I know that the Bible is true, and I know that what it teaches is true, and that these are things we can all apply to our lives, but don't think for a minute I actually have any of this together personally. I'm in the same process of trying to get in that same place. And bread makes you fat.